Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. October 2nd, 2022. My new article on LinkedIn, Reflections on Self-Hatred. One of the things that election campaigns in Israel highlight is self-hatred. Some parties in the Israeli parliament are overtly and explicitly anti-Zionist. That is, they oppose the very existence of the Jewish state. The fact that they even exist proves more than anything the freedom of expression that exists in Israel, but what is truly unique is the fact that there are quite a few Jews among the leaders of these parties. They support terrorists and terrorism, deny Israel's right to defend its civilians, mourn the loss of every terrorist, and do not mourn the death of unarmed civilians in terrorist attacks. In any other country, they would be considered traitors. In Israel, they continue to express themselves freely and openly in the name of free speech, and the state of Israel does not feel it has the right to stop them. For Jews, this type of self-hatred is nothing new. In the days of the Third Reich, some Jews were just as avid about the Nazi ideology as the German Nazis. In the days of the Spanish Inquisition, there were Jews and former Jews who personally persecuted Jews. In the days of the Great Revolt, the commander of the Roman army that destroyed Jerusalem and the temple was Jewish, and the list goes on and on. Self-hatred goes hand in hand with Judaism from its inception because the Jewish people were founded in order to correct the world. We invented the term Tikkun Olam, correction of the world, and to this day, we debate over its meaning. That is, we still feel that we must partake in the correction of the world, but we are unsure as to how we should go about it, or what correction of the world even means. When a Jew hates Jews, it is not so much hatred for the Jews, as it is denial of one's personal responsibility, an attempt to avoid the obligation to partake in the correction of the world. However, just as Prophet Jonah could not run away from his vocation to save the Gentile city of Nineveh, the Jews cannot escape from their vocation to save the world. The Book of Jonah became the centerpiece of the closing prayer on the Jewish Day of Atonement precisely in order to remind us of our calling. The nations, for their part, hate us, because they feel dependent on us. This is why they blame us for their woes. They may not understand how we are meant to ease their hardships, but they sense that it is our responsibility. They are right, their woes are our responsibility. Tikkun Olam depends on our behavior. However, it does not depend on our behavior toward them, but toward each other. We did not become a nation until we pledged to love each other as one man with one heart. Only once we accomplished this, we were tasked with being a light to the nations. In other words, all we have to do is unite among us, as one man with one heart, and that will make us a light to the nations. Our responsibility to the world is to unite among ourselves. As our history of self-hatred proves, this is far easier said than done. The last thing we want is another episode of Jews slaughtering Jews, as it happened in Jerusalem before the Jewish commander of the Roman army marched in to finish the destruction of the city. Yet, we cannot escape our calling. Jew hatred exists because Jews hate each other. When Jews turn away from Jews and toward their enemies, it does not appease our enemies. It intensifies their hatred even more because by hating each other and loving our enemies, we move further away from unity and deeper into division. Our only escape from antisemitism is internal unity. The cure for antisemitism does not lie in anything other than in Jews curing their hatred for each other. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, always with me. 31 years ago today, my teacher and mentor Rabesh passed away. This post is dedicated to him because everything I know, everything I understand, everything I teach, and everything I do I learned from him, and my life's goal is to continue his legacy to the best of my ability. Rabesh was the last in the line of spiritual giants that began thousands of years ago. From his time onward, The lion does not continue because now is the time for the knowledge that was privy to a chosen few for so many centuries to spread around the world. Rabash was unlike any of his predecessors. As the last in the line, his concern was with the realization of the knowledge, with implementing it in real life. Accordingly, he focused his teaching on one principle: the complete perception of the world is achieved only through connection with other people. And how do you connect with other people? You love them. How do you come to love other people? This is what the teachings of Rabash reveal through his writings and through the thousands of oral lessons he had given throughout his life. By the time Rabash passed away, he had installed in me a clear and complete method for developing love for other people, who are not related to you biologically, culturally, or in any other way. He did not come up with the method out of thin air, of course. It is the same method that the people of Israel had implemented among them since the inception of the nation nearly 40 centuries ago. However, like other spiritual leaders in their time, Rabash adapted the method for developing love for others to our time, to the people who live in the 20th and 21st centuries, and in his adaptation lies his greatness. I received from Rabash and learned from him more than I can express in words. However, if I had to choose the most important lesson that I took from him, it would be this: stick to your goal and never look aside. Even if the goal seems distant, often unachievable, never look aside. Whether you achieve your goal or not is unimportant. If the goal is worth striving for, stick with it and never look away. I know our dreams often seem unrealistic, but we have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Therefore, I always advise my students and anyone who asks to pursue their dreams. As for me, I will continue to work for the rest of my life to realize my teacher's dream, that all the people in the world will come to love one another as one man with one heart. For more of the many things I had learned from Rabash, read my book, Always With Me. My new article on LinkedIn: Italy turns right, but is it right for Europe? The right-wing alliance that won Italy's national election will usher in a rare era of political stability to tackle an array of problems besieging the Eurozone's third-largest economy, one of its senior figures said on Monday. This is how Reuters began its report on the general election in Italy this week, where Giorgia Meloni, leader of the Brothers of Italy party, has won by a substantial margin that will allow her to lead Italy's most right-wing government since World War II. Europe and the US are concerned, and so should the Jews be, despite Meloni's evident support of Israel. I believe that Meloni's approach is not extremist. I would say that it is rather quite settled, especially since she is a woman. A woman leader is preferable to a man leader. That said, history proves that the trend of intensifying nationalism has an explosive potential. The trend is not exclusive to Italy, it is spreading through all of Europe, Russia, and can potentially reach the Middle East, with its fanatic Orthodox regimes. The consequences of this process can potentially lead to another world war. In fact, we are already on the verge of it. At the moment, I see no desire to mitigate the growing isolationism. On the contrary, each country is ramping up its complaints against the Eurozone. Italy, Hungary, Romania, and other countries that were part of the Soviet Union are still in disarray, and free speech and democracy have not been properly established there. Therefore, for the time being, a borderless Europe is unrealistic and the Union is teetering. By and large, the strengthening of the right is not necessarily bad. Focusing more on national unity can help establish order in countries. However, the balance is very delicate, and a regime can slip into extreme fascism. Italy's fascism during World War II, by the way, was not inherently extremist, so I am not sure that Italy is in danger of finding itself under a fascist tyrant. I am not so certain about other countries, though, as some countries in Europe will merrily jump into fascism in its more aggressive form. However, It is not too late. We can climb out of the slope if Europe is aware of the dangers of extreme nationalism and chooses unity, sincere unity, instead of isolationism. I do not think that such a shift in mindset can be done so easily or quickly, but if Europe never starts, it will certainly never achieve it, and if it does not achieve it, the European Union will dissolve, possibly very violently. As for the Jews, the situation is precarious. As during any crisis, the Jews are bound to be targeted when things go awry. Despite Meloni's favorable approach toward Israel, any adverse developments impact the Jews negatively. It might happen through fascism, communism, or socialism, but it matters very little. When things go wrong, the Jews suffer. Nevertheless, unlike other nations, the Jews determine their own fate. If we unite, no harm will come to us. If we remain divided as we are today, harm will find us, no matter what we do. Our stipulation is very clear: if we hate each other, the world hates us. If we embrace each other, the world embraces us. Our sages have stressed this point throughout the ages, and history itself shows that the correlation between our concern for each other and the world's relation toward us is undeniable and immutable. For more on this topic, read my book The Jewish Choice, Unity or Antisemitism, and my latest publication, New Antisemitism, Mutation of a Long-Lived Hatred. Michael Leitman, on Quora: will I replace teachers in the future? In Tel Aviv schools, a pilot was launched in order to overcome a severe shortage of teachers with the help of virtual glasses and AI. In practice, it means that computers will replace some of the teachers. A computer can replace certain aspects of a teacher, but it is unable to replace the heart-to-heart relationship between teacher and student. Living, breathing human beings can give examples to each other that computers cannot. We can teach various professions through the computer, and students can absorb a lot of information, solve problems and learn technical and creative skills, but they will be unable to learn how to correctly relate to other people without being in a society, in a classroom, without being connected to their teacher, friends and peers, and especially with their friends and peers. In our era more than ever before, we need to learn that positive human connection and mutual support can save us from every problem, and we should seek to develop our heart-to-heart relationships at least for the sake of our survival, and moreover, for our overall satisfaction and happiness. Based on the video "Will I Replace Teachers?" with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Aaron Levi. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. What should change so that there will be no wars? How should people change so that there will be no more wars? First of all, they must see that wars cannot bring any solution. They also need to receive a clear explanation that the program and purpose of creation, the structure of the world, and the force of nature that dominates the world are all against wars. Although the Creator created this entire world of opposing forces, He did it precisely in order for all these opposing forces to complete each other. Although there are two forces, connection and distancing, minus and plus, if they work together on their difference of potentials, they will be able to receive all the upper force and it will be clearly revealed in them. It would be as if all the energy of the existing nuclear bombs, all the stars, and the entire universe had been added together and could be used for the benefit of humanity. Great opportunities open when all the good and evil forces connect with each other through the resistance to their will to receive and through their connection in the will to bestow. We can create a true plus and minus in the connection between us, and thereby rise to the height of the end of correction. It is impossible to imagine such power when all the stars, all the worlds, and all the forces in the upper realm, everything will work only in one direction, in order to give us the strength and energy to understand, recognize and control a great will to receive. All the desires of a person remain, both positive and negative, But they all receive a positive form when he can control his will to receive to such an extent that he will want to serve others. And everyone will act in this way. Then everyone will connect to the system, like the elements of a radio circuit, each of which works in its own way and in its own direction, but all together they perform a common task, which results in the radio playing. We need to find forms of connection like this, where everyone can bestow to others. Although each has his own character and his own form of work, which may be opposite to the others, like in a capacitor, inductor, resistor, or transistor, but all are connected into one circuit. This is how we organize systems in society that work together. Society should be built in such a way that, despite their difference from others, each one can find their place in the common system and participate in it together with everyone else. This is how it will be in the end. This last war has shown us a lack of communication between people and the need to achieve some kind of completion. Very strong differences between two close nations have been revealed, and these differences show us where we are and what we need to work on. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, September 18, 2022. Connecting the World in the Last Generation. Action, thought, desire. The anti-egoistic screen is first of all the force of connection between the friends in the ten and then between us and the Creator. It is built upon the fact that we want to rise above our egoism and unite. If we invest efforts in connection, then in this way, we begin to build a screen. This connection is not just in thoughts but in the hearts, the cordial connection of one with another. We want to connect our hearts because the Creator is one for all, and He reveals Himself within the connection between all of us. I make an effort in my heart that I want to direct it to a certain quality and begin to approach it. The main thing is the effort in the heart, as there is nothing spiritual in the physical action. After all, I strive with my heart to the one I love. I want to be closer to him so that he feels this heartfelt closeness. This is called connection of hearts. We want to give to each other. And of course, giving can be in an external form, in the form of a material gift, but by this I express my heartfelt feelings. How can you direct your heart in the right direction? With the help of a thought. The heart is a desire, and I direct this desire with the help of a thought. Through the thought, it is possible to control a desire like a steering wheel. If I rise in my thoughts to a prayer in which my desire is combined with my thought and with my goal. So, I find myself as if driving a car. The thought comes to us from the Creator, but I can influence and change my thoughts with the help of actions of connection. We connect with our hearts but under the influence of thoughts. From the Daily Kabbalah lesson, September 22, 2022. Baal HaSulam, Shemati 42. Objective history does not exist. Question: all the time you say that the world has become one and that we need to understand this. Should there be a national, racial, or state identity? Or, since the world is one, should all this be brought to a single equivalent? Now history is constantly being rewritten for the sake of the leaders and national pride. Columbus is deemed a racist, Churchill as a colonialist, and their monuments are being demolished, books of great writers are being burned, and operas are banned. The world does not want to unite. What can be the equivalent for everyone? Answer: in general, there is no need to choose from all these thinkers, writers, etc., the best or worst people who were for or against some people or association. I personally am not in favor of connecting all these things. But this is how it turns out in accordance with our egoism. If someone is against me, then I do not like him at all, none of his qualities. History is always being rewritten. Man does not want to have history at all. He wants to do everything so that at every moment of his existence, it would meet his views. This is why all of it is flexible and dynamic. Question: so, do you think that there is no objective history? Answer: no, It cannot be. This is absolutely so. There is nothing to talk about. Question: is it necessary to understand this? Answer: no. We, the Kabbalists, say, you are paddling in the wrong direction, friends. You will come to nothing. You will sail to the opposite of where nature directs us. Question: where do we need to go? Answer: to the connection between us, without remembering or disturbing any historical foundations. We will not be able to sort them out anyway, and we do not need to. It does not matter. The only thing that matters is, as it is said, love will cover all crimes. We must connect together above everything. Then we come to the state of a one single image of man, Adam. He is one, consisting of all, black, white, yellow, red, all nationalities, and everything that can be. This is the person whom nature or the Creator gave birth to. This is what we need. Question: does it mean that even this sentence, love will cover all crimes, can become the equivalent? Can it be taken as a flag, as a banner? Answer: yes. Comment: instead of pulling all these skeletons out of closets, releasing spirits, and all this. My response: we should go straight. Without hiding anything, we do not close our eyes. The past is not important to us. We must look forward and not backward. Question: do we say that yes, we are different, we are not alike, we hate each other? Answer: of course. This is what we have to work on. Love will cover all crimes. Question: are crimes our hatred of each other? Answer: yes, all our mutual complaints. Question: you, as a Kabbalist, as a realist, please tell me, will we come to this? Answer: in fact, we will definitely come to this because it is written, and this final state already exists. The problem is how much we have to go through. This is the only thing. The Creator has time. So what if it takes another couple of thousand years? Question: is our entire task in acceleration? By and large. Answer: of course. Why should we mess with all these cases? What will it give us? After all, it was the Creator who confused us, specifically so that when we strive for unification, in this yearning we will begin to reveal why such opposite qualities are inherent in us, which, in principle, cannot be brought together in any way. And suddenly, the puzzle is coming together. Precisely this is what gives us great pleasure and admiration to the wisdom of nature, of the Creator. From CAB TV's News with Michael Leitman, May 30, 2022. We can't be like the Finns. Question: what do you mean by the concept of raising a new person? Answer: raising a new person is the most important thing. It is so that he understands that humanness and connection are the most important things. And according to the scope of our connection, we can judge the development of society. Comment: we are not talking about one nation or one state here. My response: no, we are talking about global connection. But here we must take into account that if you are talking about Finns, then you are accepting the whole nation there. And if you take America, you can't expect them to be the same as the Finns. And that's why there's such a rift between them all. But still, according to the level of communication that exists in society, as long as the level of communication exceeds the differences in society, they are ahead. Question: is the single main principle the level of connection? Answer: yes. We have to create an even society where there are no big, small, stupid or smart, none. As much as you have earned is yours, be the biggest, the richest, whatever you want, but your hands did it and your head, and therefore in principle, no one will make claims against you. Therefore Americans more or less agree that they have inequality because this inequality depends on them. No one dictates to another in any way. Question: is it a good principle, do yourself by yourself? Answer: of course. A person should study, he invests in society and wants to be respected. He proves to everyone that he is essential, needed, suitable, and so on. And therefore when they create some mechanism or device, or make scientific discoveries, and so on, all this is then reflected in the result. That is, the level of connections determines everything. From CapTV's News with Michael Leightman, April 14, 2022. Michael Leightman, on Quora, is happiness internal or external? Everything we sense is internal. No one else senses what an individual senses, and if someone senses something and tells another about it, which the other person cannot adequately relate to as part of their feelings, they then do not know what they are talking about. Whatever is not inside the person is thus non-existent. Therefore, happiness is internal, and it appears when something we truly aspire for becomes fulfilled. Such a feeling can be called happiness. However, there are a range of levels between what we suffer from and what makes us happy. It turns out that the greatest happiness appears when we feel ourselves coming closer to balance with nature, similar to how a child yearns for his or her mother. That is when we feel happiness. Happiness is a strong desire for a fulfillment that we always wanted to materialize, but we had already lost hope. Then, the positive force of nature, the force of bestowal, love and connection called the Creator appears. It utters, "Where have you been? I have been looking for you." And the person wants to say, "I am the one who has been looking for you. Not me, but you, where have you been?" That is how they come together, in a simple fashion, without any hesitation or words. That is happiness. However, it is not the kind of fusion that occurs in our world, when two bodies cling to each other while retaining their own space and individual sensations. Here we have no bodies, but a reciprocal sensation of mutual diffusion. As a result, a certain state of being emerges. In terms of our sense of self, we then want it to melt away. We feel absolutely no need for it. However, if the feeling of oneself disappears, then the feeling of the other will also disappear. That is why it is designed such that the self needs to exist. In the language of Kabbalah, it is described as follows: the avyut, that is the thickness of the ego, does not disappear. Moreover, as the ego keeps increasing, we can acquire the ability to harmonize it with the quality of bestowal. As a result, the ego, the hatred, becomes greater, and love also increases. In our linear world, we do not understand how it works. That is how it plays out in the spiritual realm. And such hatred and love increase to a state of infinity, where we feel infinity. There is then no limit to such happiness, but it has to be felt, otherwise it is meaningless. However, there is a very long path ahead of us, before we reach such a sensation. Based on the video, is happiness internal or external? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leightman and Semyon Vinoka. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leightman. Human dependence on atmospheric phenomena. Comment. They say that in nature there is a kind of convergence of celestial bodies and displacement of orbits. My response, naturally. It really affects us, physically, with all kinds of problems: solar flares, the Earth's magnetic field, reverse polarity, who knows what can happen here. We depend on it very much. Basically, our body is a bag of electrolytes in which all kinds of currents wander, so a little drop of pressure, a little dust storm, when sand particles rub against each other, then electricity appears, and people go crazy. And if such a reversal occurs or the sun suddenly sneezes, then that's it. We may suddenly be subjected to such a flick that we ourselves will die out and everything else will remain intact. Such an impact by an electromagnetic wave and that's it, it could possibly involving a pulse that we won't be able to withstand. In this regard, we are very sensitive, not protected. If we continue to thin out the atmosphere, and I don't mean the air atmosphere but everything that protects us, from space, from the sun, and is arranged in an equilibrium, dynamically, if we continue to destroy it, then we face very big problems up to destruction. After all, our entire biological system is so tied to the environment that we are just stupid creatures who do not understand what we are doing with what we depend on. Question: but it can be influenced somehow by actions or thoughts? Answer: we need to change ourselves. Then our actions will change, but first of all we change our thoughts. Ultimately, integral education is what we need immediately. It should become our most important occupation. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Sun, Moon, Earth, May 26, 2013. Humor, satire, and cynicism. Question: what is the difference between cynicism and humor, where someone mocks others and goads them? Answer: humor, satire, cynicism, and sarcasm are various manifestations of a person's attitude to his own or to the common existence. Humor, as a rule, does not indicate personality. Humor is good. It speaks about the general structure of the world, humanity, and people, which must be perceived as given to us, from above. That is, such is nature and that is it. Humor does not aim to eradicate some phenomenon in character or in anything. It simply states, this is what we live with. And satire is aimed at eradicating shortcomings. In addition to it, there are also exaggerations, sarcasm, criticism, and all kinds of ambiguity. Question: but sometimes you tease some students, even bring them to tears. Do you somehow measure when it needs to be done? Answer: I feel that this is necessary, and often I do this in order, on the contrary, to remove something negative, to soften it, to turn it around a little. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Humor will save the world, May 20th, 2013. Michael Laitman, on Quora, is there a creator? The wisdom of Kabbalah explains our complete interconnection in the general system of reality. We are completely connected whether we like it or not throughout the still, vegetative, animate and speaking degrees of nature. Even though we do not see the full extent of our interconnectedness, we are nonetheless connected in a way where we each determine each other's states. The system of our connection is hidden, and we can thus harm each other because we perceive other people as disconnected from us. The wisdom of Kabbalah, however, states that we share a deep essential connection, and the closer we come to discovering our deep and true connection, we likewise discover the force that dwells inside that connection, called the Creator or the Upper Force. In other words, the more we discover the true connection we all share, then the more we discover the Creator that acts in this system, flowing through it like how blood flows through our bodies. Based on the video Where is the Creator? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Laitman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Laitman.